I mean, you know, back in the day, pay-per-view was, you know, a big deal. And when you were selling those pay-per-views for $65 a chair, or not, it's a chair, couch, I guess, right? You know, and
right.
And now, I mean, why do they even call it a pay-per-view when everybody has the network? I mean, do you think anybody, honestly, across the country still gets on Dish Network and goes, oh, hey, look at this, Evolution's on this Sunday. Well, I'll be $59.99. Dang, well, let me call Fredo up and get his butt over here and we can split that sucker. $30 ain't bad to watch a WWE event. Dude, when was the last time something like that happened? I mean, at least since the networks have been out. So are they, I mean, are they making money off the butts and seats, I guess? And, I mean, so what's the difference between, are they really getting more ticket sales and more butts and seats off of a pay-per-view than a Raw and a SmackDown? I know everybody says Raw and SmackDown numbers are down in the toilet. Well, if Raw and SmackDown numbers are down and in the toilet, then wouldn't you think pay-per-view numbers would be down too?
You would think.
Depends on where they put the. Okay, well, it really depends on where they put the pay-per-view at.
Yeah, you got a point there.
I mean, think about it. It depends on where they put the pay-per-view. If it's in like San Francisco or New York or Florida, the pay-per-view is going to be up. But if they put it in Keokuk, Kansas or something like that, the pay-per-view ain't going to be nothing. I mean, they can't put a pay-per-view in Nashville, Tennessee. They're not going to do that because they know that they're not going to get anybody in Nashville to come see the WWE. Yeah, they could in Memphis maybe because of the history. But if they go to Georgia, hey, we've already done WrestleMania there. We know where the fans are. Let's do the pay-per-view there. Memphis, Tennessee. I don't think they've only done one pay-per-view in Memphis, I believe. Am I correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Only one. And that was Stone Cold versus McMahon, the Valentine's Day, whatever it was. That was it. That's the only one that I know of. So, yeah, it all depends on where they put the pay-per-view. So, as of you trying to find out the buy rates for the pay-per-view, that's like looking for Obama's his birth certificate. Can't go find it. Sorry. Oh, did I say that? I'm sorry. Strike that from the record books, please. Sorry. Trying to be a comedian here. I don't think I did it really well. Did it do? Go ahead.
There are some stats that are available up to 2016. They do show them going down a little bit, but it's from a website called Fightful.com, and they actually take what the buy rate was from WWE network, and then they put a theoretical buy rate from people that would buy it anyway on pay-per-view, and that's more speculation than anything, so.
And what is overdoing pay-per-views for the WWE? It's called UFC.
Well, and let's talk. I know we kind of covered this on the last podcast, Dave, but I want to hear what Chris has to say about that. You know, speaking of UFC, you know, here you've got now. I guess they're saying Brock's not going to face Cormier or whatever.
But
we had this whole debacle with old Conor McGregor and stuff. I mean, did that just not scream professional wrestling to you, Chris?
Okay, Conor McGregor is one of the best trash talkers in the UFC and in MMA. I call him the Irish version of Ric Flair. That's what he is. He is the Irish version of Ric Flair. That's what that son of a gun is. That's what he is. He's good at it. He brings in the money. Now, could you actually see that man coming to the WWE? No. Not going to happen. Will never happen. Will never happen.
What do you think about some of these people that are making the cross, I guess,
the move?
From him? The move.
I mean, there's a couple.
Because
pardon my lack of knowledge, but isn't there a chick in NXT that's a former UFC or MMA
Shayna,
or something?
Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, Shayna Baszler. Yep, you're right. And she's supposed to be friends with Rowdy and stuff like that.
They want to set up a match between those two very soon. They're trying to get her up to the main roster as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So they can set those two up. But so the reason that the UFC is coming over, a lot of the UFC people are coming over to the WWE is because their time is up or they've been released and they need something. So, hey, mixed martial arts is just like professional wrestling, except someone's actually going to get something broken for real if they do it right.
Think about that, though, Chris. What's your personal opinion? Do you like to see people like Ronda coming over and you know, Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar and some of these people doing more stuff like that? Would you rather see them recruit out of other places?
I'd rather see them come out of the school. I'd rather see the wrestlers come out of the schools than rather come from a professional sport like mixed martial arts, because as a martial artist, I will honestly say this. Sometimes accidents happen, and with a martial artist, they don't know real from fake. And these guys can snap any second and think they're still in the octagon and tear one of these guys limb from limb. It's going to happen. Someone's going to get mad, and then that triangular or that arm bar, we're actually going to see arms get broke. I'm afraid we will. Ken Shamrock did the same thing when he came over to the WWE. He hurt so many wrestlers when he came over from the UFC. He hurt a sugar load of wrestlers because he snapped. Because he got hit, and he broke a man's arm in the ring. He couldn't be controlled. So yes, I have a problem with these guys coming out of the UFC. I don't like it. But hey, it brings the money to the WWE. What can you get?
Yeah, I have no problem with it. My only problem, I guess I could say, is the way the professional wrestling is using the MMA as saying, oh, their MMA fighters coming to the wrestling and they're using, you know, these arm bars and these chokeholds that they've learned in MMA in their professional wrestling gigs. Shayna Baszler does that a lot in NXT. You see Ronda Rousey doing that too. I would prefer to teach them a little bit more wrestling, and then when they do a move like that, a wrestler has a counter hold for it and turns it around. I think they're just making these MMA fighters be too good. You know, they're coming to WWE and Bobby Lashley, now the former Bellator champion, turning heel, and he's going to destroy everybody. It's okay. I like the publicity. I like the storylines. Okay, and I'd just like to see him just kind of book it just a little bit different.
Yeah. So what else you got for us, Dave?
Well, recently, they just finished, recording, on Sunday night, they had, the Impact Bound for Glory. And Chris and I were talking about this a few minutes ago. I don't know if Chris, Zane, if you've heard about this. We have a new champion at Impact, and this Johnny Impact, Johnny Mundo, Johnny Morris, Johnny Hennigan, the former WWE star, also in Lucha Underground, he is now the new champ, and he beat.
Hey, whoa! Don't forget to add in there. Well decorated Hollywood movie star.
Oh yeah, don't want to forget that.
he's a movie star. Yeah, his movies went straight to DVD, just like Triple H.
where Johnny did his Starship thing, which is his signature move to get the win, they get the 1-2-3, and I saw some video of this. It was very grainy. It was from a fan video. And then Austin Aries, as soon as the 1-2-3, he just gets up and walks out of the ring, starts screaming at some of the Impact officials, and there's Johnny Impact telling that, you know, he's all beat up and he's so happy to win the match. And Austin Aries is just walking away like nothing's ever happened. And you can see Johnny saying, what the, you know, the WTF thing. So the controversy is, was it storyline? Was it something of Austin Aries just being Austin Aries? Chris, what do you think?
Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
Austin Aries is a prick. Excuse me. He is stubborn-headed. He's ill-minded. I will say what Jim Cornette said him about a while back on one of his podcasts. You'll have to have that bleep button here in just a second. But Austin Aries is a monotonous, two-timing, egotistical, self-centered, and I won't say the other words. And that's it. That's what he is. And he deserves. I hope he gets fired. I hope he never gets booked in another match ever again. Because what he did was he put the middle finger up to the fans, literally, and didn't sell. But he wants you to sell for him when he wins all the titles and he's the main man. Whatever.
So, Dave, you probably know more about this than I do. Why was there controversy with his NXT run?
Well, Austin Aries, when he was NXT in 205, he just never really hit it off with the front office, and they basically let him go. He and Neville, just about the same time, were gone from there. They had a really nice little feud between the two of them. Neville got upset about the placement of the match between the two of them. I think Austin Aries got upset that he thought 205 was beneath him. He wanted to be on the main roster. Now, I don't know the guy personally, but when you're a professional, you sell. And that's the only thing that bugs me about the whole situation. He did the fans a disservice. If this is true, and from what I could see on the videotape, he did not sell the final move. He lost the match, but he didn't sell it. And you know, in his mind, he might say, well, I lost the match like they wanted me to. Screw him after that. But being a professional in any business, I mean, any business, whether you're heating and air conditioning systems, or Chris, if you're working at your job, if you're a professional, you do that job correctly until the day you are done. Is that right?
Yeah. Or like Vince McMahon said, the time-honored tradition, he did a disservice for the company and the fans. He needs to be blackballed. He needs to go bye-bye. In Austin Aries, we don't care about you. Go away and go somewhere else. Go back to Ring of Honor.
So what happens to a guy like that, Dave, that can't work with anybody? Does he find himself out of work, or does he find himself just bouncing?
But if this is true, and it is a reoccurring theme in his work, then eventually it will catch up with him. Double A is now involved with Ring Warriors, which tapes at Samstown in Las Vegas, and I think they just did a taping this past week. Austin Aries involved with that, along with Marty Lamoth and Wes Briscoe and more. But if he is getting difficult to work with, it'll eventually get to the point where people don't want to book him, and it will affect the amount of money he can make. And, hey, you're in the business to make money. If you can't make the money, then you're gone. I mean, you see Ryback, you know, he had a little difficulty, and he's wrestling in New Zealand and Australia and things like that. So if you're difficult to work with, there's going to be a time when it will come to bite you in the old wazoo, as they say. And once again, give the guy the benefit of the doubt. I like his ring work.
I guess you see, and that's the wonderful thing about a podcast like Turnbuckle Trash. You know, we're joined by Chris Evans here. Chris, I mean, practically famous for his segment, Chris on the Mat, to bring such a valued opinion and knowledge to the program. And Dave, you're like a professional wrestling encyclopedia. I mean, you just the knowledge that you have from your experience in professional wrestling is just phenomenal. No pun intended for AJ Styles.
Why, thank you. I'll let my ego grow immensely now.
I do have my hip waders on right now, and it's kind of deep out here.
Save the watches. It's getting mighty deep over here, so no. I appreciate it.
That's just from the hurricane, Chris. Leftover puddles.
Look, we don't need no more puddles. We had enough down here, thanks. I don't need no more. And speaking of Austin Aries one more time, if he can't find a job, I hear that Jiffy Lube continues to hire him. So, go right ahead. I mean, he can find my
Aries, but check your oil.
Yeah. And Conan can be right beside him.
Oh, ouch. Ouch.
Yes.
Chris is on fire today.
But, let Austin Aries destroy himself. That's fine. He's never going to do anything in professional wrestling ever again. He'll never catch up to Cody Rhodes. He'll never catch up to the indie darlings. He's just going to be this one time, okay, you held a bunch of belts and ran your mouth. It's over. Bye. See you. Nice to know you. And that's it. Yep.
Good stuff.
Interview.
My goodness.
Anything else?
So, Dave, what else is going on?
Well, I talked a little bit about Ring Warriors on WGN America. Pretty decent show. Kind of enjoying it. There's some of the performers I don't know very much about yet. But if you'll remember back in the early days of Nexus, there was the wrestler named Taven. You remember him? Guy that always wore the mask. He's involved with the Ring Warriors. And, of course, Martin Casals, he's down there also. And you could tell there were some Lucha Underground fans when I saw Martin perform there because you started hearing that crazy bastard chant that they do a lot in Lucha Underground. So, hey, and speaking of Lucha Underground, how about our buddy? How about Marty the Moth Martinez being the champion right now?
That's pretty neat, you know.
I'll
tell you, Dave, I almost wet myself the other day. I was going to text it to you, but then I went ahead and reread the headline. Well, no, so you're telling me who's the gal that's working with him in Lucha right now?
Okay, she goes by the name of Rakusla, I think is how they say it. If you watched any Impact over the last 2 years, she was Laura Van Ness on Impact Wrestling. Okay. Had a great feud with Ali and a very good performer. She did the crazy lady who was jilted at the altar once, and a really good performer. I will give it that. That's who Marty is with right now. They made a reference to Sexy Star and how Rakusa had been stalking Sexy Star and actually took her mask. Now, whether that means, and I probably wouldn't be surprised, Sexy Star returns at Ultima Lucha Cuatro, which is coming up in just a couple of weeks. But I thought it was kind of interesting how they brought Sexy Star back into the conversation.
Okay.
She was Laura Van Ness in Impact, and she goes by Rakusa, I think is how they pronounce it, with Marty the Moth on Lucha Underground.
So apparently she has been offered an NXT contract. from what I read the other day. And so when I read the headline, it said, I overlooked her name, and it said, who is, and I read, so-and-so has been offered an NXT contract, and then I read the name, I kind of skipped down a few lines, and then I read the name, Marty the Moth, and I was like, Marty the Moth going to NXT? Oh my gosh! I was like, God, I was in the text of this headline, and then I reread it, and I was like, oh, so-and-so that's working with Marty the Moth Martinez has been offered an NXT contract.
Yeah, they did just sign Punishment Martinez, who is one of my favorites from ROH. This guy is probably 6'7", 6'8", has a great look, reminds you of a young Undertaker with his look. And he's only 35. I mean, yeah, he's a former not an MMA fighter, but a competitor in martial arts. And he's only been wrestling for a couple of years, but man, he's got this incredible voice that I hope they use, really deep and really foreboding. And I hope they keep this character really, really dark. Punishment Martinez, be looking for him, soon on NXT. If I did it wrong, I am not really good at Latino names, and that's one of my weaknesses. One of the few weaknesses I have is sometimes remembering how to pronounce these names.
I'm going to have to go to my favorite Mexican restaurant here in Statesville and order that and see what they bring me.
Ah.
I don't know if I want to or not, but see what happens. No.
Huh.
I'm glad for all of them. I'm glad that they're bringing some good talent in. It's about time because the rest of them are about to put me to sleep. So.
Hey, you guys know what's getting ready to happen at the end of the month?
I'll tell you.
Talk about it. It's like a cruise.
The Chris Jericho cruise. Chris Jericho rock and roll wrestling, baby.
Yes, that's where Jericho was supposed to make his debut for Impact.
Bishop wrestling from Hollywood last week. And he's going to wrestle the Mac on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. Good for him.
Wow.
I was going to say, I like to listen to the Sirius Satellite Radio, and Chris Jericho does, I think it's every Monday, he does an hour segment on channel 37 Octane I don't remember what exactly it's called, but it's Chris Jericho, and he gets to pick all of his own, play all of his own music that he likes, and he's pretty good, dude. He's a great DJ. He does a really good job on the air, and he's funny, and boy, that guy's Fozzy's a great band, too.
Yeah, it is. And, of course, did you realize that they're going to be filming while they're on this cruise, and it's going to be a reality show? From last I heard, it's only going to be on the Canadian broadcasting channel, but don't be surprised if it's not picked up by some smaller channel here in the United States. I haven't heard of anything, but, I'd really love to see that The Rock Wrestling and Comedy Tour on the sea. That would just be a blast, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say. So let's put that on our bucket list, Dave.
If it's going to be a reality show, I mean, how are they going to kick people off the reality show? Are they going to throw them off the boat, be like a survivor?
I hope so.
I hope so, too. I'd like to see someone swim all the way to an island.
Hey, and speaking of Survivor, who's on this year's Survivor, which I don't watch? Johnny Impact, Johnny Hennigan. He's one of the competitors on Survivor this year. Then you remember talking about a guy named Trevor Cross who was supposed to be in Salt Lake a couple of months ago?
Who was it? Killer Cross. Yeah, he's on Impact. Yeah, he's on Impact now.
Yeah, he's all teammates now doing very well. He's got a great look. He's a big, huge dude.
And his promos are excellent. Oh, he's good, dude. He's good. Yeah.
I've heard of the name, but I've just never seen him.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, by the way, Zane, you said you wanted to talk to me about UCW Zero. About going to see UCW Zero a couple of Saturday nights ago. You couldn't go, but I had a blast. What kind of question did you want to ask about that?
Well, I just wanted to see how that so tell us real quick who you took with you.
I took a young man named Jonathan, and Jonathan was a neighbor, and he lived just two doors down from me until about 4 years ago. He just turned 16. I'm practically like his grandfather. I'm that old. And he has just started to express some interest in professional wrestling, watched a couple of events when they came over to the house a couple of times. And so for his 16th birthday present, I took him to Salt Lake City to see UCW Zero, and it was every match inside a steel cage, every one of them. So it got a little bloody, it got very violent, but it was a heck of a good time.
Wow. So tell us who some of the locals that were there.
Guerrero Azteca, he wrestled for the championship against a guy named... he's huge. I mean, he's like 6'10", just a huge man. He was their champion. And then they made it a three-way match with a performer that performs a lot on the West Coast, in Vegas, and also in Destiny, Blake Grayson. Now, Blake I actually met a few years ago at Comic-Con in Salt Lake, and he became the champion of UCW Zero at that steel cage event. And when I talked to the Blake before, and I'm going to play just a snippet of his interview I did at Comic-Con, he is being trained by a name we all know, the Brian Kendrick.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I was able to find the interview from Comic-Con from 3 years ago. The wrestler's name was Blake Grayson, and we talked about the Brian Kendrick.
I heard you this morning in the question and answer that you're being trained by the Brian Kendrick?
The Brian Kendrick, yes, that is right. Brian Kendrick's a really cool guy, and he's always down to show us anything, and I'm just really blessed to have him as my trainer.
And where do you do your training at?
In Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles. Is that where Brian's based out of now?
Yeah, he's there right now. He also has shows, independent promotion shows out there, and I work the shows for him. I train with him, and I try to train with him after training. Milk his brain, anything I can just to get better.
And what do you want to do with this professional wrestling thing?
I mean, like, the main goal is, of course, always WWE, but I really want to polish myself and go to Japan and Mexico, learn all the cultures, and then if I get a chance, I want to make it to the WWE.
Once again, that interview took place about 3 years ago in Salt Lake City, Utah. Blake Grayson wrestling with the War promotion at the time, talking about the Brian Kendrick.
And Blake is not short by any means. He's probably 5'10", really stocky, strong performer. He is a very good performer. Be looking for him to possibly move on up. But one of our favorites, Zane, was their Big Vig.
Oh, yeah.
This guy is huge, and he's got the look. He can move. Somebody's got to pick up Big Vig. Somebody. He needs a nationwide audience.
Yeah, and of course, was our favorite people there, Andrew Solow and Tom Chad.
Neither of the one. Andrew had been suspended from the ring, and he was not there. And then I thought Tom was going to be there. IM'd him instead of seeing him there, but I didn't see him. But who was there? The tag team champions, the Brothers Smith.
Ah, yes.
Now, Chris, Brother Smith wouldn't work any place else but here in Utah, maybe in Idaho. They dress up like, kind of like Mormon missionaries. And they're two guys that you wouldn't look at being good performers, but they can really turn it on in the ring. I got to talk to them a little bit before the match, and just tremendous young men. And they go right along with that Brother Smith gimmick. It is hilarious.
It is fun. And then I love when they get the fans chanting, shame, 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 shame. Oh, it's just hilarious. Well, Dave, yeah. I'm sure glad you had fun, you know, and that's great to get, you know, I love hearing those stories of getting these youngsters into professional wrestling, you know, and I think that it's a good time to be a wrestling fan, and I think that, you know, and I'm actually glad to see the WWE making, I mean, you know, any headline is, you know, what do they say, you've always told us before, bad news or bad press is still press, right?
Yeah, there's no such thing as bad publicity, especially in the entertainment business. Controversy sells. Yeah. Guys, you got to think about that. The more controversy out there, the more it sells. You look at UFC when they had the Conor McGregor fight with the other guys. What was the talk? That big brouhaha at the end. It wasn't the fight. It was the brouhaha. So that means the next time either one of those performers in, they'll have a bigger buy rate. Hey, controversy sells.
Yeah, and you know, and I think that's great. All of WWE getting national publicity too off of some of this stuff that we talked about at the start of the podcast, and we'll have to see what happens. I guess only time will tell to see if whatever's going to happen. I guess is out of our hands. Huh? We're just fans.
Yeah, and before we go, I want to also talk about the passing of a man that was known as the Mormon Giant. A lot of wrestling fans would not know that name. Now, you know, since Zane and I are in Utah, we know the Mormon thing. But the Mormon Giant was a really big star in Canada, also wrestled in the old, what was it, the WWWF. He wrestled Chief J. Strongbow. He wrestled in Madison Square Garden. He wrestled Andre the Giant several times, was on the wrestling magazine. He just passed away at the age of 87. He was born in Hurricane, Utah, and he passed away at the age of 87. The WWE did a nice little tribute to him also.
Oh, that's neat. That's neat. Well, thanks for bringing that to our attention, Dave. And you know, it's always sad to lose a legend in his own way, I guess. And thanks for bringing that to our attention.
No problem.
Well, you know, you guys, as always, it's just wonderful getting together to talk to you. And I apologize for, I know that sometimes on a three-way call, things can get a little messy and a little talking over each other. So, you know, but I hope that we made it work and made it still sound okay and fun. And that's all the thing that really matters most is that we had a good time.
and you know, I'm going to say this real quick. Guys, I was talking to a local radio announcer here, Jason Williams, who's on 610 KVNU, a station I also work with. And he listens to our podcast, and he made the comment that I thought was really nice. Jason, thank you so much for the comment. He said he likes listening to our podcast because he can tell that we enjoy talking about professional wrestling. And I think that's what we do, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, David, I've always said before, you know, that any time I get to talk to you is just fantastic. And then you add professional wrestling into that, and it's even more fantastic. And then off the air, when we're not talking professional wrestling, and you throw comic books and entertainment into that, it's just even better.
Yep. It's been a pleasure, guys.
Hey, Chris.
Thank y'all very much for
stay dry back there, will you?
We got a cloud coming up right now, and it looks like it's going to rain on me real quick, so my 4 miles are done. It's time to go back to work at 4 a.m. So, guys, it's been a pleasure and an honor. Thank you all for having me on the podcast tonight.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
Controversy, controversy.
Oh, rust buckets.
I know, but you know, the STFU stood for shut the...
Yuck.
You know.
So if they don't like it, tough, you know, tough noogies, tough Oreos, go ahead and let's talk about what we think is.
Okay, so Chris said that Crown Jewel... sorry, guys, if you can hear my kid talking in the background. We're working out in the garage and recording a turnbuckle trash while we're at it. Doesn't get much better than that, right?
And you look like a turtle that just came out of the shell. Shawn Michaels, you had the boy toy. Now you're the oi oi.
I'll tell you, Dave, I almost wet myself the other day.
Oh, did I say that? I'm sorry. Strike that from the record books, please.
Owie kazowie!